We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Are your artists of the day? Rick Ocasek died overnight. Heart disease, they say.
He was what, 75?
75 years old, yeah. It's like a mix of pop, punk, and new wave. I need you tonight. Just a couple quick sports notes. Ben Roethlisberger out for the season. Yep, he's out. There go.
Drew Brees out for 6 weeks.
Yeah, don't. Don't do that to me. Don't talk to me about that.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Thumb surgery.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, he couldn't grip the ball. His finger hit the helmet of another player.
Oh.
So, I'm not laughing at his injury. It's just awful. They take him to the sideline. And they hand him a ball, and he cannot even grip it. So he's out for, what, 6 weeks, you said?
Yeah.
Oh.
A guessed 6 weeks.
You know what was on in the kitchen today, and I forgot how good it was, and I found myself standing there for an hour watching it.
Price is Right?
Nope. What's the one with Billy Bob Thornton and the guy that duct tapes the ball to his kid's hand?
Oh, Friday Night Lights.
The original Friday Night Lights movie.
With Tim McGraw.
With Billy Bob Thornton and the horribly abusive father played by Tim McGraw. And I'm sitting there in the kitchen, and long after I should have been long gone out of the kitchen. Dishes were done.
Yeah.
Breakfast stuff was cleaned up.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there watching that stupid movie I've seen 100 times.
It's not stupid.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
And Chris walks by, and I go, I forgot how good this movie was. I stayed. I finished it. I forgot how it ended.
Remember when, it ended with them losing the
on
state champion.
On the one yard.
They lost the state.
I kept thinking,
And it's
they
a true
win.
Story. It's a true story.
I think they win, don't they?
No. They were Odessa. Odessa Midland or something like that?
I hope someone won an award for that. I really do, because it is so good. And I think it's so perfectly, in my mind, what Texas football at that level must be like. It so perfectly shows you that life.
Odessa Permian. Thank you. That's right. Odessa Permian. My favorite, and it's not because it's uplifting or heartfelt or anything like that, but the scene that just kills me in that movie is when they're driving home from the game.
Yes.
And Tim McGraw's character takes off his state championship ring, because this is a guy who literally lives in the glory days.
Yeah.
He can't let it go. He is a
drunk, horrible human being.
Yes, he is. But he's never aged out of 18.
Yeah.
He's always that quarterback on the state championship team. And he takes off his state championship ring and throws it out the window of the car. And his son is the one who gets out of the car and goes looking for it. Because he wants normalcy within his father.
Yeah.
And wants his approval, wants his affection, wants his love, and knows he'll never get it.
I recorded it in case the kids haven't seen
it.
Oh,
so good.
I thought you were going to say the scene where the son gets in the car after his torn knee that they swore was not torn, and the 17-year-old kid just breaks into sobs and says, what am I going to do if I can't play football? What am I going to do? Because you know that kid's, it's over. He tore his knee, it's over.
And, so he's stuck in Odessa for the rest of his life.
He's stuck in Odessa the rest of his life, probably flipping burgers. And I'm standing there in front of that TV.
Were you crying?
I started crying. And I'm like, what is happening? Don't know.
Why were you? It's a movie.
Because this poor kid. I know.
He's going to be stuck in Odessa. I mean, have you ever been to Odessa, Texas?
Yeah. Odessa's
and the dad
in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, that's hugging him, and he wants to play in the state game.
That was his uncle.
I'm standing there crying like an idiot.
You're gonna have to work in the oil field the rest of your life now.
Ugh.
I'm telling you, there ain't nothing worse in West Texas. Nothing.
Just a lot of nothing and heat.
Keep this in mind. This is how big Texas is. From Killeen, which is right in the Fort Hood, which is right in the middle of the state, mm-hmm. to El Paso mm-hmm. is a 14-hour drive. Back in the day when it was 55 miles an
sure.
hour.
Sure.
Yeah.
A 12-hour drive. That's a 12-hour drive back in the old days when it was 55
miles
an
hour. Of just nothing, right?
Of nothing. Car breaks down, just lay down on the road and let the buzzards eat you. You're going to die.
My uncle worked on the railroad in Sherman, Texas, which is right on the Oklahoma line, and needed a part one day, called out to a company in El Paso. They said, you know, call the Chicago office. It's closer.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's crazy. It is. That state is so damned big. Somebody says Odessa Permian Panthers. I actually played there in the late 1970s. Mojo.
Wow.
Okay.
Billy Bob Thornton should have won an Oscar for that. If he didn't, he
should
have.
Did anybody win anything from that movie? Because I thought it was fantastic.
It's been such a long
time. I love
that
movie.
Huh. I'll look it up.
All right. Story here from the Lawrence Journal World, so you know it's true. For Lawrence's homeless with nowhere to go at night, their new beds consist of a park gazebo, a dry concrete, next to a building or a patch of ground along the Kansas River. Others opt not to sleep at all. Says Loring Henderson, director of a downtown drop-in center for the homeless at 10th and Kentucky. Some walk the streets to stay awake for safety because they don't want to lie down to go to sleep. Those homeless people, Henderson says, opt to take naps during the day because they fear being assaulted or having their possessions stolen if they sleep out in the open at night. The Lawrence Community Shelter, which also gives guests three daily meals, recently reduced its capacity by half. From 125 to 65 people. The shelter on East 25th Street stopped taking new residents in early August. And though the shelter was able to find housing for some people, about 25 people were forced to leave the shelter when the reduction went into full effect on August 30th. Community donations of money and supplies allowed the shelter to offer those people sleeping bags, tents, and other camping supplies. However, it was not clear where the homeless were expected to camp.
Which means they are pitching a tent.
There are
somewhere.
Phrasing.
There are no campgrounds within the city limits of Lawrence.
No. These are going to be tent cities.
They're going to be sleeping down by the river.
Down by the river.
Mm-hmm. Insert Christopher Farley joke.
Scott,
right now.
I don't know what you do. I saw this story when they were talking about.
Of all the cities, I'm shocked it's Lawrence. I mean, you want to talk about the most liberal city I've ever lived in my life.
I think it's resources within the building that they had. And so unless you want to go raise money to construct, and here's what's interesting. People might not have agreed to raise tax dollars for like a city shelter before, but you start seeing homeless people up and down Mass Street.
Sleeping in South Park.
Sleeping inside the vestibules. They will put a stop to that.
Yeah.
They will say, what else can we do for a more appropriate place for people who have place to go?
Why didn't such a liberal, politics into this, but I mean, if you ever want to go to a liberal city, just step foot in Lawrence. It is liberal.
I don't know.
Is it a case of out of sight, out of mind? And until it's directly in their sight and they're confronted with it, that they're not going to touch it?
Maybe.
I think maybe they were over there at the shelter.
Did you notice the address of the shelter? East 25th Street. Which means it's east of Massachusetts.
Yeah,
and by
way,
let me give you I'm not going to give you the exact address. It's not, but it's 3600 block of East 25th.
So it is very
east. It is very east in Lawrence. So, and East Lawrence, with all due respect to East Lawrence, is probably not the nicest part of town. So we're putting these people, way out. It's so far away that you almost can't find them in Lawrence. And then when you tell them you got to hit the road, here's a tent and here's a sleeping bag. Well, where do you think they're going to go? They're going to go to South Park, just south of the police. And don't think I'm making a joke. There's actually a South Park in downtown Lawrence.
No, I'm not going to use Cartman voice for that.
So they faced last year a budget shortfall of, I think it said $200,000. Yeah, actually, it was more than that.
576-7798. Not just in Lawrence, but, I mean, there are homeless in every city. Of course, there are in Kansas City, Missouri. There are in Shawnee. I'm sure there are in Liberty, Lee's Summit, Blue Springs, you name it. Leavenworth, Belton. A lot of them are people with mental issues or dependency issues.
Yeah, drug issues,
that's obvious. But what do you do with them? They are there. Let's not pretend that they're not. So what do we do with them? Just give them a tent and a sleeping bag and tell them to go, hey, the Missouri River's right over there. See ya.
There's
Berkeley Riverfront Park. You'll find a spot.
It is not a short-term nor a long-term solution.
Somebody says this address is so far east in Lawrence, it's right next to the Douglas County Jail. That's where the homeless shelter is in Lawrence.
Yeah.
How the hell do you get there? I mean, that's way out east. 576-7798. 576-7798. Somebody writes in, by the way, the homeless shelter in Lawrence is not technically in the city of Lawrence. It's on the outskirts, right next to the Douglas County Jail. And there is a massive problem with homelessness in Lawrence. Homeless people from other communities go to Lawrence because of our progressiveness and our willingness to give. Then somebody else says, if you want me to rant on Lawrence, just give me a call. And he left his number.
You asked, how do the homeless get all the way out there? Give me a landmark. When you say, so toward the jail, like K-10 toward the jail, mm-hmm. like that way.
Yeah, the jail's east of Lawrence about 4 or 5 miles.
Like on your way out of town.
It's out in the country.
Okay.
The jail is in the country. It's on the south side of K-10.
So someone just wrote in and said the buses run out to the homeless shelter about every 10 minutes.
I don't believe that.
The homeless shelter is actually very new, and yes, it is right next to the jail, which needs to be expanded as well. Because Johnson County has no homeless shelter, most of the homeless end up in Douglas. I drive a delivery truck, and the 125 beds at the homeless shelter are not enough. There are people sleeping on the streets day and night, and there is a huge tent center as well.
Let's go to David in Kansas City. David, hello.
Hello, how are you guys doing?
We're doing quite well, thanks.
Good. It's kind of a vague statement, but I was just kind of curious if It's like California, New York. All the big ideas come there, and then they matriculate towards middle America. Is this just not their homeless problem in progressive cities and states finally coming to middle America? I mean, it sounds terrible, but homeless people tend to go to progressive areas, liberal areas, and then the finances catch up with we want to help, but we keep throwing money at a problem, never actually fixing it, and then by the time it's too late, then you're sticking them out in the tent by a river.
Well, I'll only challenge you on this part, David, because I've heard the argument homeless people are attracted to progressive cities. Well, most large cities tend to be more liberal or more progressive, whatever word you want to use. I don't find that to be strange. I mean, more conservative places are your more rural communities. And I would imagine that homeless people aren't attracted to, say, Tracy, Missouri.
Correct. Yeah, I agree.
Or Fawcett, Missouri.
Yeah, where you're going to stick out in the town square.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to be attracted to a typically or stereotypically conservative place like a small town.
Sure, but at the same time, some of our bigger cities like Kansas City, Kansas, which is not a great example, I guess, but Kansas City Metro in general is not liberal, neither is Wichita.
Kansas City, Missouri is pretty liberal, at least based on their government.
Listen to this, and this is from LJ World. It says 84% of those staying at the shelter are from Kansas, 62% are from Douglas County, 52% are from Lawrence. So
that's an interesting figure.
Yeah, 62% are from Douglas, 52% are from Lawrence, and 84% are from Kansas. I don't think they're coming in from Kansas City, Missouri. And if they are, it's not in huge numbers. Of those who use the shelter, more than half have mental health problems, and more than 75% have been homeless more than once.
But to your, and we got to get to the news, but to the figure that stuck out to me, only half of the people in the homeless shelter in Lawrence are actually from Lawrence. So they are coming in from other cities in Kansas, whether it's Johnson County, whether it's Topeka. Only half are from Lawrence. And that's an interesting statistic.
She calls out to the man on the street, "Sir, can you help me? It's cold and I'm nowhere to sleep. Is there somewhere you can tell me?" He walks on.
The year was 1989. His name is Phil Collins.
He pretends he can't hear her.
Another Day in Paradise is the name of this song, and it's a jam.
That's a fact.
Talking about the reduction in the homeless shelter in Lawrence, they've cut the beds in half. Not literally, figuratively.
Wow.
Just came in and cut them in half.
They're only serving short people.
Oh, right.
No, but if you cut them long way, you can serve twice as many people.
Say it.
Wow.
Midgets only, please.
Oh, my.
Wow. That's the problem. You can't cut it side to side. You got to cut it head to toe.
Right, right.
You don't have any room to roll over, but...
Yeah, just don't move.
Yeah.
Lay down and sleep. Shut up. Johnny in Olathe. Hello, Johnny.
Hey, guys. I love the show. You guys are the yin and the yang, the two of you personalities together. I think it's awesome.
Oh, thank you.
My wife and I met at KU, and we married in Lawrence. And I actually have a worthless anthropology degree, so.
Well, I don't know what's worse, that or art history?
You know what? The whole thing that that's my bad. Wife, meeting my wife makes the whole thing worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the bottom of that.
Oh, that's nice.
Anyway, I've thought about this before, and my thought is that the reason why the homeless kind of go to places like Lawrence is because if you're going to be poor or homeless, or at the very bottom of society, why not do it among a bunch of other people who are already there? I mean, students by nature are poor and penny pinching and just barely getting by, and it's a comfortable place to be. And I bet you'd find that in a lot of college towns.
It's an interesting parallel, Johnny, but I don't know that it's fair.
Yeah, they might be penny pinching, but they're riding in a BMW and a Mercedes. I mean,
yeah. I'm not comfortable comparing the average college student to, I mean, just to be there, a large majority of those kids have to have some money from mom and dad or otherwise.
Or loans or whatever.
Yeah, but, or loans or that kind of thing.
I remember being in college, of course, as everybody does who went to college. And I remember thinking, I don't have a lot of money to go out and buy myself a new car.
Yeah.
But then again, I don't need to because I've already got one. And yeah, did I shop at Checkers and Food for Less instead of Hy-Vee? Yeah, I did back then. But you know what? The steak still tasted the same when I got home.
I don't even know that a lot of the kids today go out to eat. They have it delivered. You can Uber Eats relatively cheap.
Yeah.
Relatively cheap.
I'm not losing. My heart's not bleeding for college kids. I mean, are there some that are penny pinching? I'm sure. Sure. Now, maybe, and there are any number of reasons why, there's a greater homeless problem in Lawrence than there seems to be in other communities. Might have something to do with the homeless think. You know, if I go down and beg on Mass Street, probably going to get a little bit more money.
Someone just wrote in, the homeless situation is so sad. Topeka Rescue Mission, there's a huge shortfall there too, Scott. This has been in the news the last couple of weeks, and they asked the community to basically raise, I think it was $400,000 just to keep the lights on. And so for now, the Topeka Rescue Mission, which has been around for decades, is okay. But I think they are facing problems, too. They write, rents and utilities are just too high, and good paying jobs are few and far between.
Let me ask you this, though. And it's an incredible contradiction. We can talk about homelessness on the radio, and some people's eyes glaze over, I'm sure. And they think, oh, screw them, you know, they brought that on themselves, which I don't necessarily agree with at all. Everybody, or a lot of people, feel sorry for the homeless when they think about the problem itself. Oh, that's too bad. You know, that's a shame. But when they're begging outside of your car window, you don't roll it down. And when they want to put in a new homeless shelter, you sure as hell don't want it in your neighborhood. Isn't that an incredible contradiction of us? I mean, I'll be honest. I do give out money to the homeless when I see them. And I used to not. I used to think, no way, they're just going to buy drugs or alcohol. And I heard two people say two different things that totally changed my opinion. One person said to me years and years ago, how do you know that's not Jesus? And I don't. And then somebody else said to me, what do you care? What do you care what they spend your $1 on? Because most people give the homeless people a dollar, give them a buck or two. And somebody and I was complaining about it one time. No, they're just going to buy drugs and alcohol. And this person looked me dead in the eye, and I had no answer. He said, what do you care?
Yeah.
And I got to thinking about it, and I guess I don't. I guess I don't care. If that's what gets them through the day, you know, I don't support it. You know, I wish they would use
it. I always say, thank God that isn't me.
That's right. But by the grace of God, go I. That's exactly right. Lawrence is popular among homeless people because the Lawrence government, the police, tend to turn a blind eye to homeless people.
Might be true.
Maybe. But here's the... Being homeless is not against the law. So what is the police supposed to do?
Just being homeless isn't against the law, but I think they can make you move it along. I don't know that... you know, we've seen that here with some of the tent cities here, where police will go in and clean it up because it's blighted. It is filthy. There's trash filled and other things that you wouldn't want to have to pick up.
Yeah. Oh, the CNN did a piece a couple weeks ago. I don't know if you had a chance to see it, called Skid Row. And they went, Los Angeles is basically throwing up their hands. Like, we give up. The homeless population has exploded in Los Angeles, in part because it's a progressive city, but also in part, as they pointed out in the story.
It has to be the opioid crisis.
The opioid crisis was something else they mentioned, but the weather.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Every day is 80 degrees.
Yeah, you'd rather be homeless in California than homeless in Nebraska in the middle of December.
That's exactly right. And so people who are homeless tend to flock to warm weather cities because they're living on the streets. And it's easier to sleep when it's 65 degrees outside at night than it is when it's negative 10.
One of the people that called in earlier, you know, said that it was a liberal progressive city thing. One of the top 10 places for homelessness is Phoenix, which is not a progressive place at all, but it is a warm weather city. Mm-hmm. And in the winter in particular, that's got to be an attractive destination.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm going to be homeless, I'd prefer it in Phoenix and Lincoln, Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
Every day of the week and twice on a Sunday.
You don't want to spend the winter homeless in Minot.
I don't want to spend any time whatsoever for any reason Minot.
Is that in Minnesota? I don't even know where that is.
North Dakota.
Why would anybody go there?
How does Dana know that Minot is in North Dakota?
And I didn't.
It rolled off the tongue. Is it the capital?
No.
I have no idea how I knew that. Minot, North Dakota. That just goes together. Sounds miserable.
Like the two places in the United States I have no interest in going, both end in Dakota.
South Dakota has some redeeming qualities to it.
Like Mount Rushmore and Sturgis?
The western part of South Dakota is pretty incredible.
That's the Badlands, right?
Yeah. That whole area out around Rapid City.
Well, I'm looking at the map right now, and I only see one city out there, and it's called Rapid City.
Yeah, that area.
No thanks. I'd rather not.
No income tax, though.
All right, I'm on my way. Hang on, we're going to grab one here real quick, Dana. Mike in North Kansas City. Mike, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi.
Doing well, thanks, man.
Good show. On the homeless stuff, so I retired from the Kansas City Police Department and ran cops at a downtown business, and there's a difference between the homeless that were struggling with mental health issues and they were truly homeless. Those were the guys that fought over the cardboard in the alleyways and stuff like that, and they came in and you truly had heart, felt emotion for those. And there were some people that would play a system, and they would come in and they would always have an angle. And I think to differentiate homeless in maybe nationally, I don't know, but there's just a difference, I think. And I think some people really, really need help, and I think some need a kind of a kick in the pants to get going in life. And as long as there's some handouts and things like that, I think the people that can do it don't do it, but the people that really need it, I think the help should be there for them.
Mike, I call them fake homeless because we've all seen the shift change. I mean, there is actually
a
shift change.
Tell the story about the time.
We're in South Kansas City. I was parked and I watched it happen where a very nice white van pulled up, and I thought, oh, they're going to give money to the homeless guy that's always sitting there in front of the McDonald's. No, the homeless guy gets up, takes his sign, gets in the van, and then a woman gets out of the van with her sign and sets up shop, takes his spot, and then the van went over to Walmart, and like six people got out of the van.
Yeah, they're taking shifts.
Oh, it drives me crazy.
Yep. So there's a difference, though, and I think the people that really need help, you know, whether it's a veteran, you know, PTSD issues or a person that has some other type of mental health issues, I think the community needs to rally and support those people. But the other people, I think they need encouragement. They need, I think, some entitlement programs need to stop so they realize they have to go get a job, whether it's a minimum wage job or not. It doesn't matter. They still need to start somewhere.
And, Mike, that sounds fantastic, and I see the track that you're on. How do you differentiate between the truly needy / homeless and those like what Dana was just referring to who are literally gaming your charity?
Honestly, I think getting closer to that population and getting to know them so you can see what's legitimate and what's not. And I think there are people in the mental health industry that have an expertise in psychology and sociology that can help out with that.
All right, man. Hey, do appreciate the call, Mike. Thank you for listening. Neil and the others, hang tight. 576-7798. Will stare at Sam Stevie. Dana Wright. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ.
Ain't got no home. I don't pay no. Ain't got no home.
All right, we'll wrap this up. And then coming up right after the top of the hour, there's a new flipper flop kind of show coming your way.
What?
Yep. Oh, well, just wait. You will think it is a joke, a very bad joke, and it is not.
Let's just say they're flipping houses where very bad things occurred.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think it's an incredibly poor taste, but we'll talk about it when we come back.
Brad in Lawrence. Hello, Brad.
Yes. Hi Scott. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. Hey, the reason I called is because one of the best places I've ever seen treat their homeless was in Hawaii. It's been about 10 years ago. But as I was telling Sam, you know, there was a guy actually on the beach who sat there and made hats and headbands out of the old like palm leaves and things like that. Sold them for $5 a piece. It was resourceful. He made some money. Temperature was nice all year round, you know. So, I mean, I think it's a great thing. I think we should probably book a flight for them all and head on out there, you know.
Well, and Brad, it's funny you brought up Hawaii. I happened to be there a year ago this week, I think. And one of the things I noticed before I went there, there's a whole lot of news out there about Hawaii's horrible homeless problem. And I don't know in your experience if maybe you thought they were being treated great. I think if you live in Hawaii, it has become a horrible problem because I do think cities are shipping people there. Why would you not want to be homeless in paradise, right?
If I have to be homeless, it's going to be Hawaii, yeah.
But I think if you live in Hawaii, it's a huge problem.
Yeah, that's understandable. I'm, you know, sure. Yeah. But, you know, I just think for the best of the people, you know, for them, you know, just.
Yeah.
I'm a human person, so I think, you know, they're human too. So why not, you know, they get the best treatment as well, you know, that way they're not sick or, you know, we're not having them freeze to death or, you know what I mean? Like, they're making money. So, but yeah, I get it. So.
All right, man. Hey, do appreciate the call. Thank you for it.
Thanks.
All right, take care. David in Midtown. Hello, David.
Well, my experience has been through my daughters, and what I've seen is there's been a lot of LGBTQ population that is homeless due to an environment that's not habitable for them. And they
at home, you mean, David?
Exactly right. Yeah. And they are migrating from circumstance to circumstance. Lawrence is a very liberal outfit, or I won't say outfit, but location.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good indicator to bring you to that spot. I don't see it. You know, my daughters at least once a month are looking for shelter for a client, trying to find a church or someone to help support them through, you know, a 2-week period, trying to get them on their feet. And it's a huge problem because they're minors, so they really
yeah.
don't have a whole lot of say in what they can do. All they can say is, you know, I'm coming from a bad circumstance, and in most cases they don't even give their real name. So, you know, it's a problem. You know, you have to have, you know, you said it earlier, what would Jesus do? And we don't see that. We really don't see that. So have a great day, guys.
You too,
thank
David.
You for the call.
Thank you, man.
Scott, real quick, 1 in 10 homeless people in Hawaii traveled there from somewhere else.
I wonder how they got there.
And then once they get there, they realize the cost of living is astronomical.
Oh, so they went there for a job.
They went
or
there
to
for
live
something,
in paradise
and now you're in paradise.
Oh, I see.
And they are considered unsheltered homeless. The majority of them are unsheltered.
Huh.
Because the weather is better, but you still are living outside. It's a huge problem there.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.